Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Very exciting for me to be here with you after all these years to keep doing this. It's the love of my life after my family. I can't imagine doing anything more fun than to talk to you every weekday and to bring you the really smart people who are the members of our Brain Trust. And there isn't anybody who could possibly be above this gentleman, right, who's going to join us right now on that list. And because we've already had a 10th anniversary with him, where he's been he's now in his 11th year as a member of our Brain Trust. He's the founder and the president, actually founder and president emeritus, how about that, of Palo Alto Software, the makers of Business Plan Pro. And he's a really good friend of mine, and whether you know it or not, he's a really good friend of yours. Tim Berry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's such a pleasure to be back with you. It's been a couple months.
Yeah, we've missed you. What about that title, President Emeritus?
Well, you know, I'm still president. One of the quirks about all the time that I was running the company.
Is CEO?
Yes.
Okay. I can't keep up.
There's a title game because people wanted me, they assumed I was CEO during all the years I was running the company, and I felt like, no, I'm just folks, I'm president, you know. CEO okay. is a new modern title.
Tell the audience the difference between a president and a CEO.
CEO stands for Chief Executive Officer, right. And president does too, so I sort of smile or smirk when I think about it, because I don't know that there is really a difference, except that president sounds like 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and CEO sounds like 90s, and new millennium.
There really isn't that much difference between president and CEO. Isn't it when we hear about a corporation, a major corporation having a president, and you're being president and CEO, or having two different people having those jobs, isn't that just another way of adding another layer of management at the C-level?
Well, yes. I think that's very, very true, that it becomes sort of a way to get more titles in. And frankly, I used it like that because, no, I'm not president emeritus. I'm president. I named a CEO, and in fact, nobody in the company reports to me. I do my blogging, speaking, teaching, and writing. And I report to Sabrina, who is CEO. Uh-huh. But I kept president so that when you and I can do the radio things, it sounds like I'm important.
So I'll scratch the emeritus thing. But now Sabrina, ladies and gentlemen, is his lovely daughter and a highly competent individual as well. I've done some business with her myself. And it's been about a year, hasn't it, since she turned over the reins?
It's been a year last month, and I'm happy to say the votes are in that the company has grown. And
yeah.
2 weeks ago, we released a complete new product in a new product area. Our Email Center Pro is a web app, software as a service on the web, that's very much aimed at the same target users, but it's not business planning. And that's a big leap for us, and I'm glad to see the company
moving.
Well,
and it's got it from a family business angle, Tim. You know, we do a fair amount of family business discussions on this show over the years we have, and from a family business standpoint, the buttons on your shirt have got to be popping off with Sabrina taking over and the company doing well. I mean, I've seen this myself in a lot of other companies. I've also seen it fail because it's not automatic. It takes special people to actually be able to pull this off from one generation to the next.
That's true. There are pitfalls, and I can't say that we didn't go through some of them in the, it's 9 years now that Sabrina and I have been working together in Palo Alto Software. We've had to learn some what not to do things. But yes, I'm very proud. I'm also proud of myself for, after naming her CEO, staying the hell out of managing.
And let me tell you something. Tim, you must not have paid attention to what I said. Because I said it takes special people to pull that off.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Anything different from what you just said and what I was just saying is called dysfunction, where the founder hands it over to somebody but won't get out of the way, or won't let the other person really have the authority or whatever. It takes special people to pull this off.
I think that's true, and I think it happens a lot in family businesses and non-family businesses that a new management team really needs to have a charter to go forward and do things differently for that to work. And it doesn't always, whether it's family or not, that sort of change of command. When the other person isn't kicked out, I'm still president of Palo Alto Software.
Well, but the thing is, I think part of it is how we view the way we feed our ego. And when we come back, I want to explain what I mean by that. And then Tim has been doing some other things regarding business plan around the country that you're going to find very interesting. We'll talk about that when we come back. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
They asked me how I knew my true love was true.
That's the voice of Tony Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Lead singer for the Platters. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and just got to have a little bit of that kind of music in your day, sometime during your day. Great stuff. That is from the Wayback Machine, officially, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Berry is our guest, and we're talking about one of the things we were talking about, Tim. I was pointing out that the specialness of successfully changing the guard from the founder to a family member, and what a special thing that is, and what I was pointing out was my belief that how you view feeding your ego, the ways you can feed your ego. Tim, entrepreneurs, you can be a nice guy and still have a pretty strong ego. That's one of the things that motivates most entrepreneurs, is our ego. We want to build something. We want to have something. We want to be proud of something. What if we can't turn loose of that, and where we require that our ego be fed directly, then we got a problem handing it off to our children, in my opinion. But if you can say, okay, I no longer have to feed my ego through what I've done in the company, I can feed my ego by saying, hey, I raised a child that can do this now, and that's how I derive my ego food. And so the more I let her or him go, and the more they're successful, then the more my ego is fed. And I think that's the thing that people that founders have to say to themselves. What do you think?
I like the idea of what I'm calling safe harbor, in that I found a place in what I do where I'm no longer managing the company, but I still have a lot of work, which I love. I just couldn't live without work. Mm-hmm. But in moving over to blog, this is blog.timberry.com, where I post every day. And I have a book, the Plan As You Go Business Plan book, will be due out in August with Entrepreneur Press. And I'm teaching a class and doing a lot of public speaking. That's related to what you're saying, because my ego also gets to keep me busy, because I hate boredom, and I stay busy in the same area. But now here's something I think is typical of small business, or at least a lot of us. I never really liked the management side, the health insurance and the choosing employees. And I did it because I loved my company.
I call it the diaper changing part of being a business owner.
Yeah. Yeah, you do it because you have to do it because it's yours and you care more than anybody else. It's delightful to pass that off and focus on the writing and speaking.
I've got another friend who handed his business, the presidency of his business, over to his son. And the son, he earned his stripes for years and years, toiling in the fields of this company. And this guy... there's one account that's really big. It's a multifaceted regional relationship that the founder developed, and he now manages that relationship But his son runs the rest of the business. And so it gave him something to do. He still has time to play golf. He still can go take his trips. And he hasn't completely gone out to pasture. But he's got this other very vital, very important sector of the business. And I think that's what you just said and what my friend has done, I think that's a great way to do this.
See, that would be safe harbor, too. You don't want to stop working if you've been working all your life. That would be horrible.
Right.
But you do want to change it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is great stuff, Tim. Thank you for sharing this. There are a lot of family businesses out there that should hear what you have been saying, and could use that to it would save the children, the heir apparents. It would save them a lot of heartache and brain damage. Tim, I want to switch horses just a minute and talk about some of the things you've been doing recently. You've been talking with, I know one of the things you've done is you've been talking to the Mexican Small Business Development Centers.
Yes.
Now, folks, we know what SBDCs are. You've heard me talk about them on the show 1,000 times. Small Business Development Centers in the United States are they're associated with the SBA. They're also associated with state and local government organizations. They get their funding from two different places. But these are professionals who are available for free to counsel small business owners. Now, how does it look in Mexico, Tim?
I have to say they've done a good job. They started in 2003 a group of forward-thinking university people in Mexico saying, we need this. And they went straight to the Association of Small Business Development Centers in the U.S. and said, help us do this right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about a lot of the politics of immigration and international relationship with Mexico, how good is it that you have now 50 development centers in Mexico with 500 counselors who are about starting and managing small businesses in Mexico?
This is one of the answers to our immigration problem, isn't it?
It's definitely related. I mean, how much does that further the interests of both countries? And these people are basically from the universities, not the federal government.
Right.
And it seems like they're doing a great job. They're really trying to help businesses start and grow in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And they've copied the SBDC on purpose. Don Wilson was down in this Mexico the president of the Association of Small Business Development.
My audience knows Don very well. He's our friend.
So Don was down there. He was on the agenda, and several SBDCs where they were talking about what they didn't do in the aftermath of Katrina in relation to some Mexican hurricane problems. And it's just a good interchange.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. When we come back, another thing, we're moving around a lot of topics today with Tim. Tim folks, he's one of the premier judges, one of the go-to judges for the business planning contests and different programs around the country. Everybody wants Tim, and he's been doing some of that. We're going to talk about what he's learned in the last few months. Tim Till, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. Little Robert Cray bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in. Hang out with us. Use our stuff. Lots of stuff there on both of those sites. And I hope you'll check them out. Thank you for those of you who've been using our sites. We're breaking records every month on how you've used our sites, and it really makes us happy. Tim Berry is our guest. We've had our track shoes on today, ladies and gentlemen. We've covered a lot of ground today, Tim. And right now I want you to talk to us about what you've learned in the last couple of months in judging, being a judge at some of these business planning competitions.
Boy, it's inspiring. I'll tell you, the quality of plans that are coming through these business plan competitions. I've done Rice, University of Oregon, and University of Texas, which they call Moot Corp, and is sort of the Super Bowl of business plan competitions. They've got some fabulous idea-driven businesses. I tend not to believe in the idea-driven business because I think business is driven by showing up and answering phone calls. But the technologies involved in, say, QQ from University of Texas that has a way to eliminate scalpers by selling tickets the right way through for festivals and football games and so on. Mm-hmm. Fabulous. And there's another one, Climate, from Brigham Young, that has a new way to insulate and adjust insulation in ski jackets. And the one that won the Moot Corp, called Neurobank, harvests brain stem cells from the spine and keeps them there for victims of Parkinson's and some other things. Makes a real change for cover. It's just fabulous, the quality of plants that I've seen.
Hmm. Now,
what have I learned? I've learned humility. That's what I've learned. Some of these groups are just doing great stuff.
Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make sure that we get something straight here. Nobody on planet Earth has given more voice or more energy or more discipline or more structure to the concept, the idea, the execution of business plans than Tim Berry. So, Tim, I mean, you're the father of business planning on planet Earth, and as far as I'm concerned. And so when you see the evolution of this process, when you see how far this has come to the point where it's, you know, it's these national competitions, it's like the show American Idol. It's like the American Idol of business planning. When you see that, you got to be kind of proud of yourself, Tim. I mean, I'm proud of you, because I mean, you've really brought this whole thing a long way.
Well, I'm flattered, actually. I'm just delighted to see these young people doing such high-quality business planning that I like the way you put it, though.
Think about this, though. I'm going to push back and be a little devil's advocate. Are these business plans beautiful, or are they excellent plans that are about something that could actually happen?
These are excellent plans about something that I'm sure will happen. Well, at Rice, they opened the statistic that 60% of the entrants in last year's contest are running up-and-running companies this year.
Making their way in the marketplace.
60%. And the crop I saw this year was better than last year's crop by 1.5 times. So I
expect... see, this is what's exciting about the 21st century marketplace, Tim. This kind of stuff wasn't going on 25 years ago.
No. This has just blossomed over the last few years.
And, Tim, this is why I've been saying for over 10 years, the 20th century was the century of the major corporation. The 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. These are examples of why I believe that.
Oh, I totally agree with that. It's the new way of doing things, and small becoming a little bit bigger is the way of the future.
And in order to be huge, or huge from the standpoint of having a lot of sales and a lot of profits, you don't have to be huge anymore, do you?
Well, we're doing this crabgrass thing of small business everywhere, where every huge company is spawning dozens or more of smaller companies. And this artisan, I've read a study recently about how the next century is business as artisans, and what they're talking about is what you do and what we do and these new business plans.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Tim, give us that website one more time.
blog.timberry.com.
And the new product coming out is called what?
Email Center Pro.
All right. So check it out, folks. Tim, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Jim.
We'll do it again real
soon.
As always, thanks. See you next time. Say hi to the family. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.